Hello, everybody. Welcome back. This is Masha here with the UBrand Summit. Thank you for joining us, whether this is your first one that you're logging into or you've been with us this whole week. We have some incredible speakers to finish up the week, and we have another week coming with absolutely incredible information. And right now, I'm so excited to present to you once again, Mike Raber. Mike is a 2-time best-selling business author, speaker, and coach. Mike's skills and capabilities of leadership, building relationships, growing different businesses, and writing a book with his younger daughter on secrets of raising financially savvy kids has helped to make him the father and transformational business and wealth coach that he is today. He offers a bonus of having a real estate, business, insurance, and financial planning background, as well as being an investment advisor representative with Global View Capital Advisors. Welcome, Mike.
Thank you. Great to be back here with you guys. I look forward to sharing great information with you and closing out the first week. Well, not closing out, but second to closing out the first week with some, what I think is going to be very timely points.
Awesome.
And I would like to begin with the 6 steps to creating wealth. And today's, again, the purpose of today is to educate our listeners on the 6 steps to putting together a financial plan when we sit down with the client, all the different things we pull together to make sure that we're able to design the plan around one's goals, their dreams, their current budget, etc. And or if a person's doing it themselves, making sure they have the proper foundation to build off of so that when they're putting their own plan together, when they're kind of building out their financial house, they are doing with a solid financial foundation. So going back to the 6 steps to creating wealth, step number 1, properly budgeting and understanding cash flow. Number 2, having proper insurance protection. Number 3, having sufficient emergency reserves, eliminating debt. And finally, it comes to savings for the long term. It's kind of interesting because people think of a financial planner and advisor as working with the planning side. But really, if you notice, these here are a lot of what goes into the plan, and that doesn't even get into the savings for the long term portion. It's making sure that the foundation is solid first. And then as you cap everything off, you look at estate and legacy planning, which once again is really important. When I get to this point, I'll share why right now with what's going on out there. There's a couple of things that's very important that you look at. So starting with the first step, creating a proper budget and understanding cash flow, which in essence is the amount of money you have coming in to your business or into your family each month, versus the amount of money or expenses you have going out.
So Mike, if I understand correctly, I heard that you should be able to save 10% of your monthly income on a regular basis. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, it's a great rule of thumb. However, one of my pet peeves with that phrase is if I were to tell you, you know, Masha, it's very important that you save 10% of all you make. That's great if you already have 10% set aside. But I find a lot of people when I sit down with them or when I talk to them, they have $3,000 coming in and they may have $3,000 or $3,100 going out. So if I tell that person, you should save 10%, they're going to say, yeah, right. When I have 10%, I will. And because of that, they often don't get that far because they get stuck trying to get there, right? So there's a phrase that I like called percent bites. So instead of trying to get 10% right away, start with 1%. So as an example, if you have $3,000 coming in and you have $3,100 going out, figure out how to restructure your expenses so you can get down to $3,000, right? And then the goal is a positive cash flow at the end of the month, right? So now 1% to $3,000 is $30. So how can you now restructure to get to $30 and then go for 2% and then 3% and on until you get to 10%. And I find that if people start with 1% and work up to 10%, it's amazing how fast, through the law of intention, how fast you're able to restructure your expenses, perhaps make a little bit more money. And very quickly, people are able to get to where now they are living on 90% of what comes in and they're saving or investing 10% of that. So yes, that's a very good rule of thumb. And most people, I hope, are able to get there quickly. But if a person's not there yet, then look at taking percent bites first.
Awesome. That sounds great. Very doable.
Thank you.
I think you want percent.
Yes. I think a lot of people I talk to are able to. Now, the second step, and for those of you going back to budget real quick, those of you who think budget is a dirty word, spending plan. Have a spending plan in place where you sit down and look at your expenses. And one of the expenses, one of the larger expenses for a lot of people, can be insurance, right? So having proper insurance protection. Now, there are different types of insurance. There's property and casualty. You have insurance on your car, your house, etc. There's health, disability, life insurance, and long-term care. When I refer to as proper insurance protection, what I'm referring to is it's important that you aren't paying too much. As an example, years ago, I had a limousine company. I bought a brand new limousine. And the limousine cost $80,000. And of course, that's what I insured it at the time. Well, like any new car, when you drive it off the lot, it starts to depreciate quickly. So after about 2 years of owning this car, it was now worth $40,000. Yet I was still paying still paying insurance on $80,000, yet the blue book was $40,000, right? So sitting there with my insurance guy and doing our annual review, he questioned, why are you paying the full amount? So long story short, we reduced the insurance down to $40,000, which cut about $500 off of my insurance because of being business insurance, was higher anyway. And it allowed me to not pay too much. The flip side is paying too little insurance. What I mean by that is another example, a person I knew that was a very successful entrepreneur, he eventually sold his business and was getting ready to retire. And unfortunately, his 16-year-old daughter slid in the rain and hit somebody with a car and killed the person. And not only was it a horrific situation for her and obviously everybody involved, but because he didn't have proper insurance protection, they came after his personal savings and pretty much ruined him financially. Had he had an umbrella policy, which is about $200 or so a year policy on his insurance or as part of his insurance package, it would have sidestepped a lot of that financial loss. So unfortunately, still would have had the personal loss, but they at least financially would have been okay. So it's important to make sure that a person is always looking at their insurance plan and ideally having it revealed at least once a year. It's amazing how many people I talk to, they sit down with the insurance person every couple of years, if that. People pay their monthly payment or their annual payment and they don't really think about it much after that. And as life changes, so does the insurance that you should be holding. And that's why sometimes people pay too much and or too little. Another one that's very important, in especially in today's world, is life insurance. Having, now not every situation is life insurance necessary, but there are certain times when it can be a major lifesaver. As an example, a friend of mine and I were at a conference a while back. And he asked the presenter, who we both knew pretty well, should he buy life insurance? And the presenter looked at him and said, do you love your wife, Tom? And he said, of course, Brian, of course I love my wife. But should I get insurance? He goes, do you love your wife? Again, yes, I do. He goes, then get insurance. And on the way home, we talked about it. And fortunately, Tom ended up getting life insurance. And a month later, 2 months later, I think it was, he had an automobile accident and unfortunately was killed. Luckily, he had the insurance in place, so his family was protected. Now, granted, his family still lost their father, his wife's husband, and that wasn't obviously good, but at least financially, they were okay. So again, not that I want to keep beating insurance up, but there's a time and place for insurance. If you haven't sat down with somebody in a while, I suggest that you have someone look at your property casualty, perhaps life, or health and disability, or even long-term care. There's a lot of different types of insurance that you want to look at and make sure you're not paying too much, but also make sure that you aren't underprotected too.
Thank you so much, Mike. I mean, I understand that these are very hard topics for people to hear. In general, people try to avoid these topics, but they're so important. And now more so than ever with what we have going on, it feels like this is the time to really talk about these issues and talk about this, you know, in the full reality of it. And how much do you love your family, and how much do you need to support? How much do you need to make sure that you're not overpaying, but you're being protected? So thank you for raising these things up. For people to talk about, to give the people the opportunity to talk about it.
Definitely. And yeah, you're right. It's never really a fun topic, but I think it's an important topic, especially in looking at protecting one's financial foundation.
Absolutely.
And another few reasons why, again, insurance is important is it gives a solid financial plan, protects your family, business, and loved ones, can be used to leave inheritance or legacy. Certainly can be used to pay off debt, such as a mortgage in the loss of a loved one. There's certain tax advantage withdrawals that can be made, as well as, and ultimately adds to financial security and peace of mind. And now, the third, and probably of the three, one of the more important areas, is having sufficient emergency reserves. I'm a firm believer that if you invite Murphy to a party, or if you invite Murphy over, he won't show up. Murphy likes to surprise people. Those of you who know Murphy's Law. So again, being properly protected, and part of that is having emergency reserves. There are different rules of thumb, but I personally suggest between 3 to 6 months of your living expenses. So if a person has, let's say, $3,000 a month going out, or $2,000 a month going out, you should have at least 3 months. So if you have $2,000 a month going out, you have $6,000. All the way up to ideally 6 months of reserves in place, so that heaven forbid one should lose their job or something happens or you get that flat tire, that you have reserves set aside to cover those unfortunate situations, again, taking the stress and financial urgency off of one's family. The fourth step to creating wealth is eliminating debt.
Now with that, Mike, I heard that some people would want to naturally spend all of their remainders after bills and everything to pay off debt. Is that a good idea?
Yes and no. There's different rules of thumb with that. My own personal philosophy is debt should, yes, if you have debt and you have disposable income or extra money at the end of the month, you should definitely apply it towards paying off debt. But going back to the cash flow or the emergency reserves scenario, I think it's important that you also develop the habit of saving money. So let's say, as an example, you have an extra $100. Apply $50 towards paying off debt, apply $50 towards savings. And by doing both, you're continuing to bring your debt down, right? But at the same time, you have your savings grow, which creates stability in one's lifestyle. And it goes back to the law of intention. If a person is proactively saving, as well as paying off debt, their debt's going to go down fast, and they're going to continually to have their savings increase. So it's very important, I think, that a person does both at the same time. And another scenario is it goes back to what is your financial independent number? Independence number, which really is having enough money coming in on a monthly basis, ideally passive through, could be retirement savings, it could be multiple ways of having money coming in, income, certainly while one's working, but having enough money coming in to pay for your monthly expenses. And by eliminating debt, it keeps monthly expenses low. So by the time one is ready to retire, they, through Social Security and other forms of, could be a pension, other forms of ongoing passive income, as in it's no longer having to be earned that day. It's from past work, past investments, et cetera, that create that income, that it's enough to cover your desired living expenses. And really that is what truly being financially independent isn't having $1 million or $10 million. It's having enough money coming in, again, passively through your investments, interest on your investments, et cetera, to cover your desired standard of living.
Makes sense, awesome.
And thanks. Which now brings us to the fifth, and I won't say final, but close to final step, is savings for the long term. And when it comes to savings for the long term, there is a phrase that Albert Einstein referred to as the eighth wonder of the world, and that's compound interest. And the reason why it's very important to start saving when you're young, like in the book that Sabrina and I wrote, Secret to Raising Financially Savvy Kids, we teach kids how when they're very young, they should start preparing for the long term. They should put money away for short-term, mid-term, and long-term savings, like retirement as an example. And over time, through compound interest, amount that you save today continues to grow upon itself. In fact, when we teach kids, we'll often ask them, if I were to give you a penny and double it every day for 30 days, or give you a check for $1 million, which would you take? And it's funny, most of the kids would say, oh, $1 million, I want $1 million a day. Who wants a penny, right? Even if you sell it every day for 30 days, that's not very romantic, but $1 million, that a lot of kids get excited about. Fortunately, there's always a few that figure there's probably it's a trick question, and they say, okay, we'll take the penny. Well, let's look for a second. The first 15 days, those who took the penny are thinking, maybe I should have took the $1 million. Even up until you get to like day 25th, day 26th, day 27, you're still thinking, man, I should have took the $1 million. But now what happens? Because it's compounding, right? By the time it gets to day 30, it's now worth $5,368,709.12, right? So again, now granted, real life, we don't get to double our money every day. Be nice if you could, but it doesn't happen that way. But there is a rule called the Rule of 72. And what that does is it tells you that you take the return on your investment, interest as an example, that you might get, say, off a CD or for different investments that one might have. And you take the return on investment and you divide it into 72, and that tells you how many days it's going to take to double. So will it happen every day? No. But if you take, as an example, $10,000 for a 29-year-old, and they earn 4% a year on average off of that, by the time they're 65, it will have doubled twice. So 4 in the 72 is 18 years, right? So 29 to 47 is now 20,000. 65, it's 40,000. So of course, that's not real exciting, but it's also only 4%. However, what if you got 6% on it? 6 in the 72 is 12 years. So now it's going to double 4 times, right? What if you got 8%? Now, it's going to double 5 times. So as you can see, through the power of compound interest, it's very important that you, if you just take the money and put it in a savings account as an example, or put it in your pillow, and it doesn't have the ability to earn interest or to get a return on the money saved, it's going to take forever for it to grow, right? But through proper savings or investing, you're able to bring your return that will allow it to continue to double. And now let's say as an example, if a person had 12%. And again, these are just example numbers. There's whether one can do it or not, it's a different conversation. But hypothetically, if you could, after what is it, 6 times, 7 times of doubling, now they're going to have $640,000 versus the $40,000. So you can see the return that you get on your investment is very important. Question I ask a lot of younger people, and even midterm people, which kind of goes back to debt reduction scenario, is if a person is earning 4%, like say in their bank, and right now I don't know many banks that will even give you 4%, but hypothetically if you could, and you're only earning 4%, yet you're paying 12% interest on a credit card or on a car loan or other debt that people have, it's no wonder why people are struggling so hard to get caught up and to save for the future. So my philosophy is pay down debt as much and as fast as you can. Be careful not to get into too much debt if you can avoid it. There's good debt and there's bad debt, and there's times for it, obviously. But continue to grow your savings at the same time of building out the other pieces of your plan. And if you do that through the law of 72, you're going to be able to see a great retirement. Now, the sixth and certainly not least step is estate and legacy planning. And this is one of those things that I think a lot of people miss, because they say, well, if I have a lot of money, sure, I'll plan and hire an estate attorney. I'll plan for my estate. Because I think of estate as having a lot of money. But there's certain things, as an example, with a lot of the medical laws that came out, having a durable power of attorney right now, especially, this is something that, this is probably one of the biggest takeaways. If you don't get anything out of this conversation that we have today, one of the biggest things is if you have 18-year-old kids or a spouse, make sure that you have a durable power of health attorney on them for health care. Because as an example, if you have an 18-year-old child and the child ends up in the hospital, by law, the doctors are limited on how much information they can tell you. Same thing with the spouse. And with all the stuff that's on the news right now, this is more important than ever to make sure that we consult an attorney, that we make sure that the legal side of our financial plan, again, having a will, if you don't have a will, and you're, especially if you have kids, or assets, and if you have 18-year-old children or older, or even if you are married, having that durable power of attorney for healthcare so the doctors have the flexibility to tell you the answers that you are going to hopefully never need to ask, but when you do, you're certainly going to want those answers. And it's something as simple as a piece of paper can dictate how much a doctor can tell you. So I know I threw a lot at you over a short amount of time, and I'm glad this is being videotaped because you could go back and watch it again. But I also want to kind of throw out through the next steps I would recommend for you is if you're interested, we offer no obligation, no cost analysis of a current financial situation. We are always here to help you. Our goal is to make sure that families, that individuals, that businesses had the financial foundation in place to ensure that you're able to live the life you deserve. And with proper planning, there's no reason why people, especially if you start when you're younger, there's no reason why you can't design a really good financial future. And if you're not as young, that's all right. There's no reason why you can't go back and tweak a few things to still build that financial future that you want and deserve. Even if you do have a plan, consider getting a second opinion. Again, if you have any questions, my contact information is down here. I've really enjoyed sharing this time with you, and I'm always here for you if you should have questions moving forward.
Awesome. Thank you so very much, Mike. That was wonderful and such important information right now and always. I hear you also have a gift for us, though. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, that is for sure. It is going to be one of the things that when putting together a financial plan for somebody, we want to look at the I'm going to take up a screen share real quick so that you and I can kind of go back. It's a daily program called the 10 Secrets to Creating Wealth. And I'll give you a link. And then from that link, you're able to download an ebook that kind of goes through the process of putting together a plan. A lot of things I shared with you today, it allows you to go through it yourself. And it also, every day, a new or every 2 days, another lesson will come to you in your email. So over the course of 10, 15 days, you're able to put together your own financial plan. And again, if you can do it yourself, great, do it. If you want help, we're always here for you. But my recommendation is start now.
Awesome. Thank you so very much, Mike. All of that information as well as the gift will be available on our platform as well as all of the other videos. Mike, in closing, do you have anything else to add to our speakers today?
No, I think that's it. I mean, my favorite phrase is, well, there's two of them. Number one is if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So make sure you plan today. And number two is you don't have to be great to start, but you have to start to be great. So we've given you over the course of this last week and going into next week, a lot of really cool things to bring into your business and to start doing if you haven't already started doing them. And I promise you, if you take all the things we've shared with you again this week and next week and put them into your business, Katie barred the door. Success is just a matter of time.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Mike. Thank you for joining us again.
You're welcome. I look forward to next time.